And I am a grateful member of Al-Anon. First of all, I want to say how very, very happy I am to be here. This is really special to me to be a speaker here at this convention, because this convention itself is very, very special, very dear to me, plays a huge role in my recovery. And yeah, this is the fourth time I am here. In the first year I was here with my, 18 months old daughter, my husband, and I was 3 months pregnant. The second time I was here with my 6 months old daughter, just her and me. The third time I was here with both of my kids and their father to babysit them. Oops. And today I'm here by myself, enjoying the time that I have to myself, and at the same time missing my babies, of course. When Demri asked me to speak here, in the beginning I was really actually delighted. I was like happy and yeah. And then I thought, why are they asking me? How pathetic. Because, my story is not really so interesting. Whatever, I was, a typical Al-Anon about it. And when I sat down and thought about my story, the main thing that just made me, drove me crazy was the fact that it was so confusing and confused. And I thought, oh man, I just want to present a perfect story. I just want to present a story like the ones I read, like my life was so terrible. My husband was drinking and it was terrible. And then I went to Al-Anon and then everything changed and everything was great. And then my husband went to AA and now everything, we are living the program together and, our relationship has become so much better than before. I hate these stories. I read them and I hate them. And when I'm being honest to myself, the reason why I hate them so much is because I'm so envious. Because this is the story, this is the life that, that was intended for me, I thought. I spent many years thinking that that's how it's gonna work. That he's gonna go to AA and I'm gonna go to Al-Anon and we're gonna work on this and it's gonna be fine and it's gonna be difficult too, but it's gonna be so rewarding and we're gonna, grow together. Yeah, but this is not my story. And I don't really have this one specific Al-Anon event in my life that changed everything. My first Al-Anon meeting didn't really help me that much. I wasn't happy. The group was not what I personally was looking for in Al-Anon. And so, by the way, my husband went to AA long before I went to Al-Anon, so there wasn't even the chance that I, rescue him by going to Al-Anon, because he was there already. But nevertheless, I think I am an example of how the program can work in a person, even if the person is not really working the program. It's just, juggling with it clumsily, trying to do it. Because I think maybe the willingness to do it is really changing something without... That's what happened with me, I guess, when I look back. It changed me, but I was not aware of it at all. And, so when I was here the first time, it was 2016, yeah. Like I said, I was pregnant 3 months or 4 months, and I was actually in a state of total despair. I was really not happy, and I was so confused. I didn't know what's going on and what's happening. And yeah, so that was in 2016, and that was like 3 years after I went to my first Al-Anon meeting. And in that time, like, I went to this first meeting. It was not what I thought it would be. And then I lived 3 years feeling sorry for myself that I couldn't find another meeting. But I never went out and looked for another meeting. I never did that. I sat there and I read the literature and I did the best I could all by myself. Well, but then I came here. And yeah, by that time I thought that my miracle that I was actually waiting for, like the story of my husband and me both working the program, I thought it's already happening. He's in the program, I'm in the program, somehow we're gonna work this out. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be all fine. This is really the insanity of my Al-Anon life. I always lived thinking that now everything's gonna be fine. Oh yeah, now everything's gonna be fine. Like when my husband first went to AA, I thought, okay, now it's okay now. Everything's fine now. We're gonna be happy. He's gonna work on it. Perfect. Then he relapsed. Then I was shocked. Then he relapsed again. Then I was shocked again. And I was shocked every time he relapsed. And he relapsed like every 3 months or so. And I didn't know anything about alcoholism. I didn't know that this is probably part of the disease. And yeah, and it happened so often, and still I was always so shocked. And then when he jumped back on the wagon, then I thought, okay, now everything's gonna be fine. And so when I thought about this, I realized that I started calling it my Charlie Brown insanity, because it was this, you know, this thing when you do the same over and over and you are expecting a different outcome. And I saw this scene in the Peanuts once with Charlie Brown, Lucy and the football. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? She always pulls the football away and he always, you know, and then she says, come on, Charlie, let's play. And I won't do it this time. And he's like, I don't know. She always did it. She always pulled it away. Should I? Should I not? And he always tries again and tries, even as he, you know, he goes back and then he thinks, I think she even says, I'm going to give it to you in writing. And then he thinks, okay, I'm going to try one more time. And that's who I was. I was Charlie Brown. And my level of unhappiness and despair was really this despair. It felt like a cold claw around my heart, really. It was heavy and cold and here, ugh. And it got worse because I was not only Charlie Brown, but I was also the person watching, thinking, what are you doing? Don't do it. Don't go back. Don't do it again. It's not going to be fine. But I did it again. And so it kept going and going and going, and that was very insane. I then later, you know, our relationship got worse and worse, and to the point where I asked him not to come into the house anymore, but of course I didn't trust him. So I became an expert at changing locks to the apartment door, always doing it late at night, hoping the neighbor wouldn't come by and think, what the hell is she doing? Because I got tired of leaving the house because of him, because I was scared of him. And I used to be the one who left went to a safe house, went somewhere, you know, spent the night somewhere, not sleeping. And I got tired of that, and I also had a baby, so I thought, okay, I cannot do this anymore. I did this a few times with my baby. I went somewhere, I went to a hotel, went to my parents' house, whatever. And then I thought, okay, can't do it anymore. He has to go. I'm going to stay here. Yeah, and so I started changing the locks and then changing them back again and letting him back in and, you know. And then I got pregnant again. Wonder how that happened. From him. And then I was really down. I was really, because somehow, I don't know, I got so desperate. I got so afraid of the future. I thought, oh my God, this is such a terrible relationship, and I'm pregnant again, and when I found out that I'm pregnant at the doctor's office, when the doctor told me, I started crying. And that was very unusual for me, because I actually always wanted to have two kids, and I had a, you know, it was difficult for me to get pregnant, but I got pregnant, so that was a gift from God, and I was sitting there, and I was crying, and I dreaded being pregnant. I thought, oh God, another screaming baby, another one to take care of, I can't do it. And yeah, so like I said, insanity got worse and worse. Then my husband decided to go back to California for a few months, which was where he was when he first, you know, when he really lived the AA program. That was, he went to the States for a few months, and it was really, it changed him a lot until he relapsed again. But anyway, so he said, okay, he needs to go back to California before the second child comes, because, you know, his mother is there and he wants to reconnect. And then I finished his story, I think. I don't know if he ever really said to me that he wants to go back to his home AA group and reconnect with his sponsor there and his people there and his AA community there. That was all in my head, and it was part of the story for me. But up to this day, I don't know if he ever really said that. It turns out he didn't go back to reconnect with AA. He went back to drink and to do other drugs and be free, you know? And then I guess maybe that is the point in my story that is really the day for me. It's actually the day I celebrate my Al-Anon, whatever, sobriety, whatever. My serenity day, yeah. It's the 6th of January, 2017. And when I thought about my story now, preparing the speech, I thought it was kind of odd, because it's the Heilige Dreikönig, what's it called in English?
Epiphany.
Three wise men, it's called. Three wise men. The three wise men. And I, you know, maybe it's a bit far-fetched, but, you know, the three wise men. Yeah? The steps, traditions, and concepts. I thought, okay, maybe they visited me on the 6th of January. That's my news. That's, I want to keep it that way. So, anyway, so I... Actually, it was a miracle that happened that day, because I actually had an appointment with my midwife, and I was about to leave the house, and the phone rang, and my mother-in-law was on the phone telling me that my husband is on the way home, and it was a month before he was scheduled to be home. So I knew what happened, and she then told me what happened, and yeah, it just got really bad there. And so he went back and he thought he can just come back and, you know, just, you know, do the thing he always did. And I, you know, I would take him back and just like it always was. And I couldn't do that anymore. And the other miracle was that he had left his keys at home, because I was supposed to pick him up then from the airport and stuff. So I knew he cannot come into the house. And that's when my withdrawal started, really. I knew I cannot let him back in the house. He then called me, telling me that his mother is just lying, it's not true, and he didn't drink, and she's, you know, exaggerating and whatever. And I realized, in that phone call, I realized the sickness for what it is, that it's sick, that it is a sickness, that, you know, I thought, when he was on the phone, I realized that he believes it, because he wants to believe it. And somehow I, you know, I would have loved to believe it too, but I couldn't anymore. And so then I got through some really hard days that I would have never gotten through without certain people that I called. One of them being a friend of my husband's, actually, an AA member, and he talked to me every day telling me that it's okay what I do. I needed to hear that every day, you know, more than once, that it's okay to want to be safe, that he's a grown-up man. And then he said something wonderful. He said, "I know you wish reality was what it is not." And then he also told me that I have an addiction, and this addiction is called enabling. And I am forever thankful for these days were horrible, terrible. I felt so terrible because I knew he has nowhere to go. He has no social network here. He is all alone. Oh, my God, I'm the only one, you know, you know. And I felt like the worst human being on earth. And oh, I felt guilty, and it was horrible. But it was very interesting for me to see how it works. Because it was a withdrawal, really, really. I had to fight against it because I thought I need to help him. I cannot leave him out in the street. Yeah. So that was when I was desperate enough to go to a meeting in my hometown that I had never tried out because I was so busy, you know, complaining that there are no meetings where I can go to. So, and then I just went there because I thought, what the hell, I need to go. And then this meeting turned out to be actually good. Like, you know, they read the steps, they read the traditions, they were talking about sponsorship. And I was sitting there, I thought, oh my God, why didn't I go here earlier? Yeah, in fact, that I sometimes still think that, you know, I think, oh, if I only had gone to that meeting during that time when my husband was really into AA, then everything would have been great, you know? Not realizing that everything is great, actually, right now. So, yeah, so then I started going every Sunday. Every Sunday I went to my meeting, and it changed me, and it was so important for me to hear it again, 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 and again. Every Sunday I heard, it's okay. It's okay that you are doing what you're doing. It's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay that you want to feel safe. You are not responsible for him. All these things, you know, I needed to hear them all the time, not just read them, hear them. And yeah, so I guess now I still go there every Sunday. I once heard somebody say, and I guess it was maybe a speaker tape or something, when he was asked why he's still going to Al-Anon after 25 years, he said, it's like going to the gym. It's like his spiritual gym. And that's what it is for me. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm running out of time. Yeah? Well, then I guess one of the things that I realized now preparing this speech, thinking about my story, blah, 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 I realized that I was waiting for a miracle for a long time. And I had, you know, I knew exactly what that miracle is. I was like, okay, this has to happen, this. And that's the miracle I am waiting for. And I'm sitting here and I'm waiting for it. And now it's different. I am now not living with my husband anymore. I have a very peaceful life now and I enjoy it. It's not quiet because I have two little daughters. And it's still very chaotic, but in a different way. And I am so grateful for the program. You know, I know now that miracles are happening every day. And I'm not waiting for them anymore. I just see them everywhere. And sometimes I don't see them. I'm sure I miss many. But I expect them. I know that they are happening, you know, but I don't know what it's going to be. And that's definitely a better feeling than the one I had before. Yeah, and so, yeah, I just want to, you know, when I come here and I ride the train here, and October is my favorite month of the year, and I was on the train, I was looking out of the window, and I was listening to music, and I'm just so grateful and so thankful that this convention exists, that Al-Anon exists, that you are here, that you are sharing whatever it is that you are sharing. Yeah, I want to thank you for that, and I want to say that that's also something that the program really brought to my life, the thankfulness. And I realized the more I'm thankful for what I have and what I see, the more there is to be thankful for. And that's really a miracle. So, yeah, thank you for listening.